Welcome to Our Shepherd's View, an in-depth discussion with the Most Reverend Michael Mulvey, 8th Bishop of the Catholic Diocese of Corpus Christi. Join us now as Bishop Mulvey reflects on issues and events facing Catholics and people of all faiths.
Good morning, South Texas, and welcome to Our Shepherd's View on this 19th Sunday in Ordinary Time. I'm Barbara Little, here with Bishop Michael Mulvey, and today we will hear and discuss the Gospel from St. Luke. Please stay with us, and we will be right back.
A number of events will be the focus on Sunday, September 8th at the Schoenstatt Movement Center, 4343 Gaines Street in Corpus Christi. A formal celebration of the Blessed Mother's birthday will include a rosary at 3 p.m., followed by a procession of flowers and Holy Mass at 3:30. A dinner reception will conclude the activities. Feel free to bring flowers to offer to our Blessed Mother, and be sure to invite your friends as well. For more information, call the Schoenstatt office at 361-992-9841.
Welcome back to Our Shepherd's View. Good morning, Bishop, and how are you this morning?
I'm very well, Barbara. How about yourself?
I'm doing well, thank you.
Great. Good, good.
So our gospel this morning continues from St. Luke, so if we could prepare our hearts and minds to listen to his word.
This is Luke 12:32-48. Jesus said to his disciples, "Do not be afraid any longer, little flock, for your Father is pleased to give you the kingdom. Sell your belongings and give alms. Provide money bags for yourself that do not wear out, an inexhaustible treasure in heaven, that no thief can reach nor moth destroy. For where your treasure is, there also will your heart be. Gird your loins and light your lamps, and be like servants who await their master's return from a wedding, ready to open immediately when he comes and knocks. Blessed are those servants whom the master finds vigilant on his arrival. Amen, I say to you, he will gird himself, have them recline at table, and proceed to wait on them. And should he come in the second or third watch and find them prepared in this way, blessed are those servants. Be sure of this, if the master of the house had known the hour when the thief was coming, he would not have let his house be broken into. You also must be prepared, for at an hour you do not expect, the Son of Man will come." Then Peter said, "Lord, is this parable meant for us or for everyone?" And the Lord replied, "Who then is the faithful and prudent servant whom the master will put in charge of his servants to distribute the food allowance at the proper time? Blessed is that servant whom his master on arrival finds doing so. Truly I say to you, the master will put the servant in charge of all his property. But if that servant says to himself, 'My master is delayed in coming,' and begins to beat the men servants and the maid servants, to eat and drink and get drunk, then that servant's master will come on an unexpected day and at an unknown hour, and will punish the servant severely and assign him a place with the unfaithful. That servant who knew his master's will, but did not make preparations nor act in accord with his will, shall be beaten severely. And the servant who was ignorant of his master's will, but acted in a way deserving of a severe beating, shall be beaten only lightly. Much will be required of the person entrusted with much, and still more will be demanded of the person entrusted with more." The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ. Well, Bishop, as we were preparing for this, of course, you went back and you looked at the chapter in Luke, chapter 12, and the verses before this one, and it had a little different message.
Well, I think, yes, I did, and it's always a good exercise when you're reading the gospel or doing Lectio Divina is to put everything in context. Mm-hmm. This is kind of like the Sermon on the Mount. I mean, there's different axioms, there's different suggestions, there's different warnings, there's different encouragements that St. Luke is bringing that Jesus gave to people. So if you just kind of look at the titles that the Bible puts there at the beginning of chapter 12, there's some warnings and encouragements. Be on your guard against hypocrisy, what we've read in a recent previous gospel for the last Sunday. The parable of being foolish in our richness, you know, building more barns, storing up things and keeping them because I might need them someday. And then there's also in chapter 12, verse 22, just before this one begins, is to not worry. You know, most of our life is about worrying,
right?
What's going to happen, et cetera. But a person of faith who has their heart and their compass of their heart directly set on God and on the Savior, on Jesus, sure, we worry, we're concerned, but we don't worry. Mm-hmm. I love that, worry. We don't worry. So there Jesus again brings out, don't worry about what food am I going to eat, what clothes am I going to wear. Your Father knows what you need before you even need it. So it's not that we just sit back and say, well, God will just, you know, we anticipate God's providence, but we also do our part. But above all, just that God will provide for us in some way, but that we're also ready to respond. We're open enough, we're alert enough in God's will to be able to accept and to receive. He also speaks of, prior to this, about the flowers that grow. Don't worry about these things, that there's, you know, weeds grow among the beautiful flowers. But look at the flowers of the field. If God can make such beauty, can create such beauty in the world, then why should we be concerned and only focus on the evil? We need to also, especially in our day, look at what is beautiful. So don't worry about trying to protect everything you have. And now at this point in the gospel, the attention is turned to being watchful. Mm-hmm. So if you look at the first part of chapter 12, it's some axioms, warnings, encouragements that are being given. But now we come to a point where Jesus is saying to be watchful. You have to be on your guard. You have to do your part, you might say, in all of these things, because God wants to give us the kingdom. But there's some things that we have to do, as we've talked about before, is to not get attached to certain things, to certain people, to certain events, to the past, the future. You can even get attached to the future.
Right.
You know, a person that's my age and heading, you know, it's like you get attached to retirement. And you live retirement 20 years before it even happens, or you live it 2 years before it even happens, you may not even get there. Or you're going on a trip and you're imagining, you're dreaming, and things are happening right in front of you, but you're already where you're going, on a river cruise. You're fast forwarding. So there's all these things to live in the present moment, to be watchful now in the present, because things happen in the present. God's action happens right now in the present, and that's what he wants us to focus on. So when he's talking about the thief and these things, it's when we're not watchful that things can slip away right in front of us, and we miss the will of God, the beauty of God, right there in front of us.
I think the message that I'm getting from this, too, is just to always be prepared. You know, not prepared for something bad to happen, but just be prepared, living your life the way God wants us to live our lives.
Right. You know, I think it's, I've used this before, but, you know, where is your heart? Mm-hmm. And I think the other morning I was reading this and I woke up and I said, have you taken your blood pressure medicine this morning? Have you taken your blood pressure? Did you do some cardiovascular exercise? Did you take your 881 milligram aspirin last night? You know, you can go through a list of things that we do for our heart, our physical heart. I think I just found making that comparison between the heart that Jesus is speaking of and our physical heart. We take care of our physical being, we eat properly. Not, you know, don't eat the fats, don't eat this. We got to take care of our heart, and all that's true, absolutely. But what about the heart?
Right.
You know, the center of the human being. Mm-hmm. How much care, how much attention, how much time, energy do I spend on my heart, which is bound for the kingdom of God? He says right here, I'll give you the kingdom, but sell your belongings and give alms. So what am I doing for my heart in the sense that we're speaking of here? Because where the treasure is, there's our heart. I think the example of Martha and Mary, I love the account of Jesus passing through the home of Martha and Mary and wanting to speak to them, wanting to bring them the final message because he's on the way to Jerusalem to suffer his passion, death, and resurrection. Mm-hmm. But he wanted to spend time with them, really to form their hearts. I think if you look at it in that perspective, he was there in their home a day or two before he goes to the final end to prepare their hearts. Mary listened. Mm-hmm. Martha was distracted with good things. Mm-hmm. Hospitality is a good thing, but she was distracted. Mm-hmm. She was busy. She was preoccupied, anxious, etc. And then, you know, this whole thing, tell my sister to come help me. She missed it. Right. I'm sure he sat her down and said, now, Mary, Martha, you're going to get a cram course right now. Sit down, be quiet, because he loved both of them. But I think that's a beautiful image for us to think of. Are we preparing our hearts to be truly healthy in this world, which means sell what you have, be detached, give to the poor, and come follow me. I'm preparing a place for you in the kingdom. All of these things that we can't put a price on. We may not feel that we can enjoy them now, but being free is the kingdom of God. Mm-hmm. Being happy, being joyful, is the kingdom of God now, not in the future only. But so I guess my question today for us is, how about the heart? Take care of your human heart that beats in your body for the health of your body, but don't forget the heart that belongs to God. Feed it, exercise it, clean it, push it a little bit by giving what we may not want to give. In other words, the gospel is the way to prepare our hearts for God.
Thank you, Bishop. We are going to take a short break, and when we return, we will continue our conversation. Please stay with us, and we will be right back. Saturday, September 31st, Santa Rosa de Lima Parish in Benavides will host its annual festival and car show. This free admission all-day event begins at 11 a.m. in City Park near the church. There will be food and drink booths, games for young and old, vendors, a silent auction, and a fabulous car show featuring classic cars, street rods, motorcycles, and trophy presentations. The music begins at 4 p.m., followed by a mariachi mass at 6. Then more music from groups such as Epicas, Beto Ramon, y Luna Llena, and more till 1 a.m. For more information, including sponsorship opportunities, call 361-443-8867. Welcome back to our Shepherd's View. Well, Bishop, I told you during break that when you were talking about Martha and Mary, I was thinking about the same thing. You know, what a beautiful lesson they are about, you know, we can be both Marthas and Marys, but are we doing, when we're being our Marthas, are we doing what the will of God is for us?
Sure, hospitality is a wonderful thing, but sometimes it's not what God wants of us in a given moment. So we have to, and that's with everything, so we have to be careful with that.
Yeah, exactly. So in this gospel, of course, there were, because it's a long gospel, but there were three different areas that Jesus was talking about, and he's teaching us to be vigilant, he's teaching us to be prepared, and he's teaching us to be faithful.
I think it would be helpful for us to go through those three different things and look at, you know, what they can mean to us, being vigilant, being prepared, and being faithful. Jesus says here in the gospel that blessed are those servants whom the master finds vigilant on his arrival. What does it mean? Vigilance is not just sitting around waiting. Vigilance means living the will of God in the present moment. So the will of God, it's not something archaic. It's not something generic. It's something very, very specific. Sitting here with you right now, for me, is the will of God. You sitting here examining me, looking at me, intimidating. No, just kidding.
No.
Intimidating. No. Kidding. Is God's will for you.
Right. Yes.
So if we're doing other things, we're out of God's will.
Right.
So this is the will of God. It's very specific. But doing it in the present moment is being vigilant. Now, you might say, well, we're not thinking about, you know, what are we vigilant for? We're vigilant for the kingdom of God. We're vigilant for maybe a beautiful thought that will come from the Holy Spirit. We're vigilant. Mm-hmm. So it's not something that's passive, but it's an active vigilance by living. Mm-hmm. To be vigilant is to live, and to live God's will in the present moment. Sometimes we're in the middle of something. Well, let's go back, since we've talked about it quite a bit. Let's go back to Martha and Mary. Scurrying around in the kitchen was a good thing, but it was not God's will in the present moment. Jesus had come, and we don't know from the gospel what he actually, how he did to prepare them, or if he said, let's sit down and talk a bit. If Martha said, let's just take for example, well, wait, I'll be back. I need to get some cookies and tea and blah, 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 blah. So she's running around. She's out of the will of God. Mm-hmm. And Jesus calls her back when she's complaining. He says, you're worried about many things, but only one thing is necessary. Not correcting her, but calling her back. Mary chose the better part. In other words, sitting down listening is what God's will is for you. St. Alphonsus Liguori used to say that the good is bad when it's not the will of God.
Hmm.
So is good, serving, is bad mm-hmm. when it's not God's will. Mm-hmm. So that's the kind of vigilance. Vigilance is a very active thing.
Mm-hmm.
And it's in the present moment. It's not just I'm being vigilant for the next 20 years, knowing mm-hmm. the Lord will come at some point. Yeah, but maybe it'll be today. Maybe it'll be right now. Maybe it'll be in 5 days. Maybe it'll be in 5 years. Instead of 20. So this vigilance is an active doing what's normal in the present moment because it's God's will. So that's what Jesus, I think, is really asking us to do.
Wow. I'm glad you're talking about that, because I always thought vigilant was waiting for something that's going to happen in the future. I never thought about it being in the present moment.
Sure. I mean, God is only in the present.
Right.
When you think about it, God is God. We're the ones that travel in time. God doesn't travel in time. God is always. God is. That's why when Moses met the burning, who are you? I am who am. I exist.
Mm-hmm.
So that's something I think for our pea brains, you want to call it.
Oh, yeah.
Our little bitty brains, to get it wrapped around that God is God. So when he's ready, he's ready.
Mm-hmm.
But for us to project somewhere down the road is foolish, because we're probably not going to – we're going to miss the target anyway.
Mm-hmm.
So it's living in the present moment with joy, with our full energy, our heart, our time. It's in the present moment. So if you're a farmer and it's time to plant, that's the will of God. Go plant, and you're doing the will of God. In other words, you're living your life in holiness. You're doing what God has given you to do.
Mm-hmm.
Or if it's harvest time, or if you're the teacher of school in school, it's doing the will of God, but doing it with purpose
right.
and as vigilant. So that's the first thing, waiting for him to come. And he might come as a teacher in a little child that just has something wants to say to you. And those words speak to you, speak to the depth of your heart, and you're in the present moment with God, and he speaks through that child. So those kind of things, that's being vigilant that Jesus is talking about. The other one is being prepared. So when the Lord returns for us, we don't know when. We've all had experiences where someone died unexpectedly and et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. And this whole thing of preparedness, again, it goes back to that being in the present moment, or living the gospel, we might say. It could be another way to preparing ourselves. Whatever you do, the least you've done to me, forgive and you'll be forgiven. Share and abundance will be given back to you. Mm-hmm. These kind of things that liberate us from ourselves and from the attachments that we too often can have, that's preparation. Mm-hmm. And when the Lord comes, we're ready.
Right.
We might be scared and surprised, but we're ready. In other words, when our death comes or when we have no regrets. I think being prepared means not to have regrets, not to live with regrets, not to live with complaints and judgment and all these things that really make us miserable. So being vigilant in an active way and being prepared by living the Word of God, living the moment, the present moment of God in His will is also being prepared. And then the third thing is when Peter says to Jesus, he says, Lord, is this parable meant for everyone or is it just for us? And Jesus responds, who then is the faithful and prudent servant whom the master will put in charge of his servants? So in other words, Jesus wants to turn over to us a certain responsibility of bringing the message to others. So what does it mean to be faithful? When I read that, it just kind of struck me that what does it mean to be faithful? It doesn't mean to be static in a certain situation or just to repeat, you know, we call them, they're faithful Catholics, which means they're in the front pew or third row on the right every Sunday.
Mm-hmm.
They're good and faithful servant. Mm-hmm. That's repetitive. That's in the sense that's habit. Faithful means in every situation, in every unexpected moment, we're ready to be faithful in the sense that we're ready to see God's will and God's hand in everything.
Mm-hmm.
So it's not being static. It's ready to respond always. And in this, Jesus wants to communicate to us at all times. So we only have to look at the scriptures and try to understand what is God telling us. He's saying to us that I'm going to test you because I want to give you responsibility. I want you to not just keep what you have received for yourself, but to share it with others. But you're going to have to be faithful. You're going to have to do what has been given to you, being faithful to the gifts, the talents that you have, not only materially, but also spiritually, and respond with them in every situation. Yes, we'll all make mistakes, but to pick ourselves up again and start over. So just to kind of lay back and say, as it says here, well, my master, as part of the gospel here, my master is delayed in coming. And so I begin to just have a good time, eat, drink, get drunk, mess around with people's lives, etc. That is selfish. That's not being faithful. It's not being prepared, and it's certainly not vigilant.
And it's thinking that I can get away with this because he'll
Nobody
never
will know.
Know.
That's right. And how many live with, mm-hmm. they'll never find out. Well, they
mm-hmm.
will.
Yeah.
The master knows for sure. The Lord mm-hmm. knows. But so it's not that kind of a fidelity that's hidden because mm-hmm. all that will come out. But I think those three things, the mm-hmm. gospel is telling us to be vigilant in the present moment, to be prepared in whatever we do. We're doing the will of God, and also to be faithful. That means not just one time or showing up habitually to the job or to prayer, but responding constantly in response to the Lord's call to us. I think the last sentence, and we'll conclude with that, is a very beautiful and powerful one. Much will be required of the person entrusted with much. And that's not just financial.
Right.
That's our whole life. And still more will be demanded of the person that is entrusted with more. So I think that says something to all of us. We're all given something.
Mm-hmm.
We're all given a talent, whatever it is, from the uneducated 99-year-old great-grandmother to, you know, the most educated person here in Corpus Christi. Everyone's been given something. Mm-hmm. And we're all required to be vigilant with that, to be prepared with that, and to also be faithful in what's been given so that we can share the riches of God's love, of God's mercy, of God's grace with our brothers and sisters.
Mm-hmm. Thank you, Bishop. So a lot for us to think about.
Much to think about. Yes, absolutely.
Thank you. If you could end our session this morning, please, with a prayer and a blessing.
Let us pray, Almighty and ever-living God, whom taught by the Holy Spirit we dare to call Father. Bring, we pray, to perfection in our hearts the spirit of adoption as your sons and daughters, that we may merit to enter into the inheritance which you have promised. Through our Lord Jesus Christ, your Son, who lives and reigns with you in the unity of the Holy Spirit, one God, forever and ever.
Amen.
And may Almighty God bless you, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit.
Amen. Thank you, Bishop, and thank you for sharing your Sunday morning with us. Have a wonderful rest of your day and a blessed week.
This has been Our Shepherd's View with the Most Reverend Michael Mulvey, Bishop of Corpus Christi. If you have questions for the Bishop, write to Our Shepherd's View, 1200 Lantana, Corpus Christi, 78407. Or we invite you to email your questions and comments to osv@klux.org. Our Shepherd's View is a production of CCN, the Catholic Communications Network.